All right. Well, if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word as we continue in our series, we're going to read out of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the truth of your word. And God, that faith is required to please you. And we thank you that you have given us an opportunity to seek you. Thank you for blessing us with an opportunity to seek you out. Lord, we know that every good and perfect gift is from you. And so today we can call upon you because of your good name. And I pray that each and every person here this morning would know you in a personal way. And if not, would you speak to their heart? And Lord, those of us who know you, may we draw closer to you, for we know that you reward those who do seek you. Help me to preach plain and clear today. Lord, I understand the judgment on my life and dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray and his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
You've heard of the butterfly effect. A butterfly flaps its wings on the other side of the world. By the time it gets to us, it's a hurricane. It's the idea that little things can have big consequences. Now, this is especially true about the choices we make when we're young. You see, every decision ripples out into our world and our future in ways that we can't possibly imagine. And we carry them to the end of our days. The choices we're making right now can affect our long-term health, our ability to get a job, our future spouse, our kids, our grandkids, everything. What you do will always be with you. But there is one choice that towers over all the rest. Get it right, and every bad decision you've ever made can be wiped away. Get it wrong, and a lifetime of good choices will one day turn to dust. When you choose to follow the Creator, when you choose to surrender your ways to Him, when you decide to trust Him with your life, you will have figured out the one choice that really matters. You see, the beat of a butterfly's wing may or may not change the world, but the choice to follow Christ will change you and countless others forever.
Amen. My question to you today is, have you made the choice to walk with God? Because that choice is going to change everything about your life. Amen. So if you have your book, if you don't have these books, you need to make sure you get one of those. We've got plenty of those for you. And as you open it up, there's pages where you can take notes at. And in the in the table of contents where you have the characters and the titles, the characters' names are the same this week. They're both named Enoch. And we're going to talk about the difference between those two. And the title of the message this morning is, are you seeking a title? Or are you seeking a testimony? Because those are two different approaches of how to live. Okay? And so in Genesis chapter 4, we read that Cain had a son. In Genesis 4:17, it says, Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. Now when he built a city, he called the city after the name of his son, Enoch. This is not the godly Enoch that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11. In chapter 4, we have Cain and his descendants, and they are an ungodly generation. And then in chapter 5, we read of Adam and Eve conceiving of another son named Seth, who replaces Abel because Cain killed his brother Abel over jealousy because God accepted his offering, but rejected his. That Abel brought his best, Cain didn't. And so it brought jealousy, and he ended up killing his own brother. And then God blessed them once again with another son named Seth, and it's through Seth he has a son named Enosh. And after that time, it says that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And through the line of Seth is the godly generation. And we read all through this generational opening in Genesis chapter 5, there's a statement that repeats. It says that Seth lived 105 years, then he fathered Enosh, and then after he gave birth, it says he lived, and then it says he died. Then it talks about Enosh, how he lived, he fathered children, and then he died. Then Kenan, he lived, he fathered children, and then he died. He lived, then he died. And that's it repeats itself over and over, and that's the way it is in life, right? We live, we have family, we die. And it's a repetition, then all of a sudden something shifts and something changes when it gets to verse 21. It says, when Enoch lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Then it says, Enoch, he what? He walked with God. He walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch, what? Walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. This is different. This is different. There's only one other man in the Bible that escaped this world without seeing death, and that was Elijah. And so there's something unique about Enoch here. And the testimony that we're giving in the Old Testament about him is that he walked with God. In Hebrews chapter 11 and the faith chapter, the heroes of faith in chapter 11, it says that it was commended to him, it was said of him that he pleased God. And that's my prayer for myself, that's my hope for myself, my goal. Hopefully it is for you too, that you would have a desire that you would please God, that you would have a testimony and not worry about just having a title. Doesn't matter that a city's named after you. If you're from a wicked generation that does not seek the Lord, it doesn't matter if you have a whole city named after you. What matters is that does God know you? So in a title, you want to be known by men. If you're wanting a testimony, known by God. That's enough to be known by God. Does God know you? It doesn't matter how popular you are. I mean, you can put your name on all the buildings, right? I mean, Trump, he loves his name, does he not? I mean, he's our president, and we pray for him, and great, but he loves to put his name all over the place. Trump Towers, Trump this, Trump that. But does God know him? He's known by men, and that's but does God, is he known by God? It doesn't matter how much you have achieved in life if God doesn't know who you are. So what if everybody in the world knows your name? Does God know your name? Have you been placed into his family? And so this morning you got to ask yourself, what are you chasing? Are you chasing a title or are you chasing a testimony? Because when you chase a title, you're wanting to be known by men and you love status. Right? Status. Well, I'm this. I'm that. I'm the CEO of this. I'm the person that's over this. I'm in charge of that. And this creeps into the church world too, doesn't it? And this is how it creeps in the church world. I'm a deacon. And especially, you know, I'm chairman of deacons. Woo, you know, whoa, you know, and when somebody comes to me and I've had this happen to me, you know, people have come and try to visit, you know, and visit our church and stuff. And the first thing they let me know, so like, well, I just want you to know that I'm a deacon at this church I attend. And what that does for me is it puts a big red flag to say, watch out, right? Because we're not seeking status. The church isn't a place to seek status. In fact, if you want to be in a group that seeks status in the church world, it throws you right in there with the category of the Pharisees. Because Jesus said this about them. He said, they do all their deeds to be seen by others. For they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. Go ahead, go with me to Matthew 23:5 back there. Next verse 6. It says they do all this. They love the place of honor at feast and the best seats in the synagogues. They love the greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by others. He says they love the notoriety. They love the esteem. They love the status. But he says, for you, don't worry about all that stuff. You see, for a testimony, am I okay just to be called a servant? Paul was. Paul, in some of his letters, he said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Peter was. When he writes his book in Peter, a servant of Jesus Christ. James was. James, a servant of Jesus Christ. Can we just be content with being called a servant and a friend of God? Isn't that enough? Don't chase status. If you're wanting a title, you want to like to be known as, man, you got the biggest house in the neighborhood. Look at me. I don't want to have the biggest house, but I do want to have the biggest home. I want a home. I don't want just to have a house. I want a home where I am the husband that God has called me to be, that loves my wife like I should, that raises my children in the ways of God the way that I should. And I want my home to be a place where the grace of God is there and present, and where God has, he has the center of everything that we do, that God is in my home. If you're looking for a title, you're going to please men. If you're looking for a testimony, you seek to who? Please God. I'm trying to achieve and do things and let everybody, I'll just go with the flow and I'll do whatever I need to do to please men. And I don't worry about pleasing God, but if I'm building a testimony, I seek to please God over man. If I'm living by a title, I'm going to sow my wild oats. How many of y'all ever heard that expression? Sow your wild oats, you know. And some of you even think that you have to do that. That's wrong. Oh, well, yeah, they need to go out there and sow their wild oats. Yeah, that's parents that tell me about the college experience. Yeah, your kid just needs to go out there and experience college. I'm thinking, what? No, they need to go to college to get their education. Experiencing college means joining a fraternity, getting drunk, and flunking out, then that's an experience you don't need to have. Can I get an amen? Amen. So I think you can sow wise oats. Huh? What do you think? Young people, you don't have to go out there and experiment and do all kinds of crazy stuff. You can actually sow wise oats at a young age. Can I get a witness from some older people to say, listen to him? Can somebody say, hey, just say, listen to what he's saying. So that guy is so smart. What? No follow through on that one. What happened there? I tell you what. Sow your wise oats. If I'm doing a title, I'm going to have no moral standards. No moral standards. But if I'm trying to build a testimony, I will have moral standards. I will have moral standards. Don't compromise your character and who you are. Don't give in to the things of this world. Young folks, at the very beginning, you need to go ahead and set your standard up. This is who I'm going to marry. This is how I'm going to be. Go ahead and make the decision now that I'm not going to fool around. I'm not going to have premarital sex. I'm going to save myself that when I stand on my wedding day, I fully give myself to my wife. And then and ladies, you do the same thing. I'm going to fully be able to give myself to my husband. And that'll be a beautiful day. Go ahead and set that standard. Say, I'm not going to do drugs. I'm not going to do alcohol. So go ahead and set that standard. Go ahead and draw that line and say, I'm more about pleasing God. I'm building a testimony. I'm not over here trying to please men and be known as, you know, the man or the girl. You know, whoa, whoa, look at them. No, I want to have God know me. If nobody else knows me, that's okay. But if God knows me. If I live this way, I have no thought for eternity. No thought for eternity. Man, what's going to happen when you die? Oh, I don't care, man. I'm just living it up. I'm just trying to do all I can do. I mean, woo, I'm just going to live this life out. I mean, I don't even know if there's anything after I die. But if you're wanting a testimony, you're going to be heaven bound. You know there's something after this world. You know you're temporary. You know there's going to be a day when you breathe your last breath, and your goal is that you're going to be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I'm building a testimony. I'm going to walk with God, and I want a testimony. I want my life to be reflected that someone can say, they walked with God. The day I die, if some of you still live when I'm dead and you're at my funeral and you walk by my casket, I don't want people saying, "Boy, I tell you what, he was a good preacher. He was a good this and that." I hope that you can say, you know what? He walked with God. He walked with God. That should be our goal. Are we walking with God? Now, walking with God implies some things. It implies that we must have faith in God. Just like in Hebrews 11, it said, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So there was a day when Enoch did not walk with God, but he did. Now notice it said that when he was 65 years old, he had Methuselah. And then after he had Methuselah, the Bible says he walked with God. Okay? There was something about when he had Methuselah that changed his life. Just as it does many young couples when they have a baby. Let's get our spiritual life in order. Methuselah, there's debate on what his name means. There's a couple of options. I believe it's this one. That Methuselah means at the end, when at the end of his life, the end will come. That when he dies, the end of the world is going to be. Now, we know that Enoch lived, and through Enoch's lineage, Noah is born. And so Enoch lived in a very corrupt time period. And there was a revelation, there was a moment when Enoch did not walk with God, but he had an encounter that said, okay, I better start walking with God. We call that repentance, we call that salvation, amen? It means that I must realize that I am opposite of what God is saying that I need to be, and I need to turn and trust in him. I need to repent of my sin. I need to quit walking on my path and get on his path. So if you've never trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior this morning, I'd ask you to quit walking on your path and get on his path and begin to follow him. And then once he began following, it changed his life. To walk with God also implies a surrendered will. Enoch had to give up his will. It wasn't about what he wanted to do anymore. Now he was going to surrender his will to God. If we want to walk with God, Jesus said this. He said it this way. If anyone wishes to be my disciple, he must take up his cross every once in a while and follow me. That wasn't what he said, was it? He didn't say once a week. He said, if anyone wants to be my disciple, he must pick up his cross daily and follow me. It's a surrendered will. Because see, our flesh gravitates to this. I believe that a true, genuine child of God desires to please God. Because the Holy Spirit that he's placed in our hearts wants to please God. So the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak, right? And so our flesh always tries to pull us on this path, and the Spirit says, no, no, stay on this path. And the only way that we'll stay on that path is if we surrender our will, crucify our flesh, and follow him. And this is a daily thing. It also implies walking with God, implies a moral fitness. Just like physically, if you want to stay fit, there's some things you need to do and some things you don't need to do, right? There's some food you need to eat, and there's some food you don't need to eat, right? You're not going to get in shape eating a box of donuts every day, right? It's not going to happen. There's some things you abstain from, and there's things that you actually do, all right? Listen, you've got to pray. You've got to be praying to the Lord on a daily basis, not just in emergency moments, which, I mean, that's fine. You can pray in your emergency moments, but not just in your emergency moments. You need to be praying every day. Amen? If you're not talking with God, you're not walking with God the way that you need to. You're not walking close with Him. If you're not speaking to Him, if you're not speaking with somebody that you love, that relationship's not going to grow. True? You got to be reading from His Word on a daily basis. You got to feed. He gives us the proper food to eat. His Word is our food. Now, let me just ask some questions here. How many of y'all eat at least around 3 times a day? Raise your hand. 3 times a day? Okay, at least twice, at least 2-3 times a day. If you eat more than that, don't raise your hand. Just we'll just stick at 3. 3 meals a day. Every day of the week. I mean, none of you just go one day a week and say, "Whoo, I'm full. That'll get me done until next week." We don't do that, do we? But spiritually, we do that. We'll come to church on Sunday, and we'll go, "Oh, boy, I tell you what, that was good stuff. I tell you what." But you got to eat again on Monday. The reason why Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, if all falls apart, is because you're malnourished, you're starving, you haven't fed your spiritual side yet. You've not feasted on the Word. Instead, the flesh is starting to take over. If you want to walk with God, you've got to be praying, talking with Him, hearing from Him. How are you going to hear from God? Mainly from His Word. And then the Holy Spirit, then He will guide you and lead you and speak to you. But if you don't know what He says, you're not going to be able to know what He's telling you to do. Amen? So you got to know the Word. It implies that walking with God, it also implies perseverance. How long did Enoch walk with God? All right, let's do some simple math. Here we go. He started walking with God when he had Methuselah. He was 65 years old when he had Methuselah. And then at 365 years old, God took him up. So how many years did he walk with God? 300 years. That's not a sprint, right? That's not a flash in the pan. That's not just an emotional experience. Oh, yeah, I came to know God. I'm going to walk with God. And then, you know, I've seen some people that come forward and you think, man, they were going to be the greatest evangelist the world has ever seen. I mean, they're all excited. Woo-hoo-hoo. 4 months later, the FBI can't find them. They just dropped off the face of the earth. Nowhere to be found. Where are they? They were so excited about Jesus. Where are they now? Can't find them. No, this is a long walk. This is a persevering walk. This is a walk that will take you through all the seasons of life, even in the wilderness moments, even in the dry seasons, all through your life. You're going to walk with God, not just in the high moments. I mean, you'll walk with God in the high moments, but even in the low moments. You think Enoch had some low moments in his life? He was living, I mean, you want to complain about our culture and our world. He was living in a worse time than what we're living in. He was living in the time period where God was getting fed up with mankind that He was going to destroy the world. You think he had some heartaches? Sure he did. You think he was talked about? Sure he was. You think he was made fun of? You better believe it. But he's worried about building a testimony rather than a title. Walking with God implies a witness. You see, in the book of Jude, it tells us that Enoch was a preacher and that he declared the judgment of God, that God's coming, He's going to come. You better get your life right with the Lord. And not very many people, very few people heeded that. What do you do when you become the oddball and you're the one that seems like, gosh, nobody else is believing this Bible. Nobody else is preaching the gospel. Nobody else is living for Jesus. Everybody else is doing their own thing. Man, they're sowing their wild oats. They're trying to please men. But what we got to say is whatever they want to do, they can do. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm building a testimony. I'm going to please God over men, and I'm going to sow my wise oats. It doesn't matter if everyone else doesn't believe that the gospel is important anymore. I'm still going to preach the gospel. It doesn't matter if everybody else thinks this is an outdated book and it's just, you know, it's just not even, you don't even have to listen to that anymore. No, I'm going to believe that that's the word of God. I'm going to follow him, witness for him. If no one believes it, I'm still going to share it. If no one accepts the invitation, I'm still going to invite. I'm going to witness with my life. If you walk with God, guess what? Here's what happens. You will grow in the grace of Jesus, the knowledge of God. The more you walk with him, the more you'll know about him. The more you'll see his grace, the more you'll experience his mercy. When you walk with God, you'll experience the joy of what it means. I mean, how can you have a miserable walk when you're walking with Jesus? Think about that. Now, I have some bad walks, but usually I have bad walks, it's because I'm walking with somebody I don't like. Huh? But how in the world can you have a bad walk when you're walking with the Lord Jesus? The joy and the peace and the encouragement that he brings, the victory that he provides. Man, it's a great walk. It's a joyous walk. It's a peaceful walk. It's not always an easy walk, but it's a walk that leads you to everlasting life. Guess what? You don't walk alone. Enoch wasn't walking by himself. He was walking with who? With God. We don't walk alone. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit has been given to us, and that through him we live and have our being, that we walk with him. He leads us and he guides us. And we're not walking by ourselves. We're walking with him. And guess what? There is a stadium full of faithful men and women that have gone on before us that are encouraging and saying it's worth the walk. It's worth the walk. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 tells us this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, who is the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. What's he saying? He's saying, keep your eyes on Jesus. When you walk, you're walking with Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. Keep focused on him. And guess what? You don't walk alone. And there's a crowd of witnesses that are saying to you today, it is worth it. Keep walking. Keep building the testimony. Don't stop. You can do it. It's going to happen. You can be who God has called you to be. The image here of the stadium is an athletic coliseum of a sports where the people are in the stands cheering you on. Now, in high school, I loved playing basketball and baseball. And when you're playing, you always have a crowd. Now, in this world, when you're playing in front of a crowd, you have some who cheer for you and some who cheer against you, right? Aren't you glad that the crowd in heaven, they're not cheering against you, but they're cheering for you, amen? And they're shouting for you. And I always knew as many people came to watch the games, there were certain people that I always knew exactly where they were, right? Like my mom and dad, for instance, they always went to my games, and I knew exactly where they would sit, and when I'd be playing, I could look up and I would look and see them, and I could hear my mother pleading my case to the officials. That wasn't a foul. Sitting there thinking, man, I just hacked the guy's arm off, but my mom's up there encouraging, saying, no, that wasn't a foul. And I can remember seeing him. And my nanny and papaw, who were huge parts of my life, enjoyed watching me play sports as well. And they would come to several of my games. They couldn't come to all of them. They'd come to several of my games. And I can still, to this day, they're both now in heaven with the Lord. And I can still see myself standing on the court. And I can still see my nanny coming in. She was a small little lady, and she's walking in, and I can see her walking up those wooden bleachers in our high school gymnasium. And my grandfather, my papa, with his blue shirt that he always wears and his blue jeans and his penny loafers, holding her hand, walking up with her, and them sitting in their spot, where if I was playing, I would look up and I could see them and I could hear them and see them cheering for me. Baseball was a sport that my grandfather liked the best, and one day we were playing in Magoffin County, and those of you who know Eastern Kentucky side, we were from Ashland, and we played in Magoffin County. It's quite a bit of a little drive, and I got off the bus, and there's my nanny and papaw. They're there to watch the game. It kind of surprised me. And that game, I remember I pitched that game, and we won, and I hit a home run that game. And I remember looking and seeing my papaw. And I saw him cheer, and I could hear him say, "Way to go, boy," because that's what he called me, boy. And not only was sports something that he encouraged me in and liked to participate in, but even in the things of God. So when I was in high school, we had a youth service on a Sunday night, and they asked me to do the sermon. And I was over his house, and he goes, "Come on, boy, get in the car. We're going to go down to the Christian bookstore, and we're going to find you a sermon book." He said, "Because you need to know what to say when you're up there." And so he takes me to this Christian bookstore, and I go through this list, and I find this Herschel Ford Simple Sermons book. And I'm thumbing through it, and I see a sermon in there titled, "A Journey Through the Halls of Hell." And I'm like, "This is the one. This is the one." And so I tell my papa, I'm like, I found it. He's like, "All right." So he bought me that sermon, and I preached that sermon that night. And after it was over, he was like, "Way to go, boy." You know, I can still sometimes hear him say that. I believe that he is in that cloud of witnesses, and that he sees what's going on, and he sees how the Lord has blessed here at Living Water Church, and he says, "Way to go, boy. Good job. You keep preaching. You keep sharing the gospel. You keep doing what you're doing." And we have a great cloud of witnesses all around us, and they're cheering us on, and they're cheering you on, saying, "Keep walking. Keep building that testimony. It's worth it. It's worth it." Some of you may be going through a family, a relational turmoil. Maybe there's brokenness in your family. Someone did you wrong in your family, or someone cheated, and there's this division going on. And it just seems like it's friction, and you don't know how to put it back together. There's a guy that steps out of the stadium this morning. He says, "Hello, my name is Joseph. I know exactly what you're going through. You see, I had a dream one day. Dreamed that God was going to do some great things in my life, but my brothers didn't like it, so they beat me up, they sold me into slavery, and I was estranged from them. I was mad. They took me away from my father. I didn't get to know who my dad, I didn't get to experience the time with my dad like I should have. And then I got a job, and I was working my way up, and the boss's wife lied about me, and I got thrown into the prison, and I was bitter, and I was angry, and I was mad, but God was always faithful. I kept my faith in him, and he got me out of the prison, and I got even a promotion, got back to my job, and I was able one day, I was able to forgive my family. Not only was I able to forgive them, but I was able to save their life from a drought. I was able to see my father once again." You may be going through some sickness, some emotional stress, and some loss, maybe losing a job, or just not where it used to be. Maybe you're feeling like, "Man, I've got so much bad luck. If I didn't have bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. I mean, just everything seems like it's falling out from under me. Every time I try to get ahead, I go backwards instead of forwards." There's a man that will step out of the stadium, and he'll say to you, "Hi, my name is Job. I know exactly what you're going through. You see, I lost everything that I had. I lost my family. My children died. My house was destroyed. My health, it left me. I was so bad health-wise that I thought it'd be better off if I wasn't even born. And I got so depressed and emotionally distressed, but I decided to say, though he slay me, yet I'll serve him. And I kept walking. I kept building a testimony. And at the end of the day, God heard my prayers. He healed me, restored me. I got double back what I lost. He's saying today, keep walking. It's worth it. Don't stop. The walk is worth it. You keep walking with God. It does pay off. It's worth it all. Some of you this morning, there's some that might be saying this, well, Grant, that's all well and good. I wish I would have known this back when I was younger. I've done messed up. I've already traveled the wrong path, and I've already sown my wild oats, and man, I've not lived with moral standards, and I've lived so against God, and I've done so many things wrong in my life that God could never forgive me, and God would never restore me, and God could never put me back on his path. I'd never have a testimony. A lady from the stadium steps down. She says, hi, my name is Rahab. I was a prostitute, and I had ruined my life. I had made bad choice after bad choice. And I sold myself short by selling myself out to men. And I was hopeless, depressed, thought I was worth nothing. And then one day I heard about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there were some men who came into my town that was spying us out. And we knew the victories that God had made in Egypt. And we knew that they were coming and marching against us. And I hid them and I kept them safe. And they told me that if I would hide them when they came back, that they would have grace upon me and that me and my family would be spared. And that's just what happened. The armies of Israel, they came back, the men came back, and I put a scarlet thread, a scarlet cord down, and they came up. And I saved them and I hid them. I kept them safe, and God had grace upon me, and he spared my life, and he gave me a new direction. He gave me a new purpose. He gave me a new way to live, and I even ended up in the genealogy of the Messiah. Guess what? It's never too late to start a testimony. It's never too late to walk with God. Everyone here this morning, right now, you can begin walking with God. It's worth it. Don't stop. You keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. You keep honoring Jesus. You keep building that testimony because Jesus, he's got that scarlet thread. At the cross of Calvary, he laid it down so that anyone who wants to be made whole and be made new and be redeemed can begin a life eternal relationship with the God who made them. This morning, church, let's have the testimony that we walk with God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy, Father. Lord, this morning, there's many here who have started our walk with you, and some have sat down, and some have grown weary, and they've gotten tired, and so they've quit. They've just stopped. I pray, God, that you speak to their heart and stir up their soul, and that they would start walking once again, walking, walking towards you, walking in your path, building that testimony. Lord Jesus, there's someone this morning, I know there's got to be someone here this morning that feels like they've done blown it, that there's no way that you could forgive them. Lord, would you speak to them and let them know, hey, I can make you new today. Lord, if there's someone here that needs your grace and mercy and they've never called upon you for salvation, that today would be the day that they come and say, man, Grant, I need to get my life right. I need to know Jesus. I want a testimony, not a title. Father, have your way in our hearts, Father. And God, may we keep walking and building the testimony that we have walked with you. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's pray. Let's come. Let's be obedient.